Wow. Wow. I don't think I've had so much fun in all my life for a long, long time. Thanks very much, Chad.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Wonderful.
Out. Good, good.
Tell me about the car. How many races would you be involved with before the car has to have a rest?
What we do is we actually keep track of all the laps that goes on here. We have a computer system. About 24,000 miles, we'll actually pull the car into the garage, tear all the suspension apart, all that stuff, go through it, make sure everything's good, put it all back on, and it'll go right back on the racetrack. Typically, it takes about a month to put back together.
I'm interested in these tyres because I could smell the rubber burning as we were racing around. How long do they last?
With us, we're not doing the high speeds like they are out there. It takes about 2 weeks for us to actually change the tyres out. And also, depending on how the car is reacting to the track and all that stuff, will depend on how much we go with the tyres and all that.
So even a mechanical car needs a rest.
Oh, yes.
There you are. Everyone needs a rest, including the passengers.
It's interesting watching people at an airport. You find yourself making a lot of assumptions based on some really superficial things. Take that guy there, for instance. I don't know what he does, but judging by how fast he's going, I reckon he's pretty important. Or at least he thinks he is. We lead busy lives and we're proud of it. Ever ask someone how their day's going and got this reply? Yeah, flat out, real busy. It's like a badge of honour. No time for you, I'm on important business. At least that's what we tell ourselves. It seems all we want to do is get things done faster. Because the faster something gets done, the less time we need to spend on it and the more we can cram into our day. And yet, the faster we move, the less time we have to rest. And the sad thing is, the faster we do move, the more we need rest.
It seems everything's getting faster these days. Our lives, cars, computers, even food is fast. We've sliced the day into smaller and smaller compartments and packed it full of stuff. And if you want to get ahead in this fast-paced life, you've got to put your head down and work harder than the next person. No rest for the wicked. Isn't that what the saying says? Everyone else is doing the same thing, looking for that next edge, fighting for the big break, burning the candle at both ends. I guess that's why they call it the rat race. It's like we're running in circles, going nowhere.
So we have to work harder to buy all the stuff that society tells us we need to be happy. There's always something new to make us feel like we aren't part of the club. Every advertisement we see reinforces this message. Unless and until you buy what we are selling, you won't be happy. So we buy it. But the irony is, by the time we open it, we're too busy to use it, wear it, drink it, or catch it. And so we keep chasing it.
Life is a vicious cycle. We work too hard, worry too much, and your body breaks down. So you can't get as much done, and so you've got to push yourself even harder. For what? Retirement? I'll be so tired, I'll want an early grave. Now, even in a time when things are instant, we feel more unhappy than ever. We're being consumed by the very things that are supposed to give us more time and make us happy. What we really need is rest from ourselves.
Do you ever get the feeling that the whole balance of your life is wrong? Your priorities are out of whack? I mean, our grandparents had the Protestant work ethic drilled into them. God loves those who work hard. But something about that picture of God and work's a little off, isn't it? I mean, did you know that in God's Ten Commandments, where he lays down his rules, one of them is that for an entire day, and I mean an entire day, you have to chill out. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, don't do any work. I mean, how cool is that?
Our world, and our digital world, is a world of excitement. One famous sociologist recently said that excitement is now our most dangerous drug. And we are literally fragmenting the brain. Scientists are now saying we are rewiring the brain.
That's pretty full on.
Yes, we are rewiring it. And not only that, we are dumbing it down. There's a lot of evidence to show that our brightest students at our top universities are now not as smart as they used to be. Multitasking, for example. I mean, everyone thinks that multitasking is a good thing for you. You must learn to multitask because you'll get on better in the world. Absolute nonsense. The science is clear that fragments the brain. You are toggling, you're jumping backwards and forwards. And we are losing our capacity to stay focused. We are losing our capacity to contemplate. And most important, we are losing our ability to tolerate boredom. And you know, let me tell
so
you this.
Boredom's a good thing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you now, as a scientist, I know my neurology and my psychology, right? Boredom is something the brain needs a lot of. Boredom is necessary for the learning process, because if you keep rushing things in, busy life, nothing stays put. It all goes out again the other side. If you don't have time to contemplate, to think, to pause, then you are going to be misled. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. There was a time when having a quiet time was the thing to do. I can remember as a teenager, I had to have my quiet time. You know, I had to set aside that time for me to do that. Not many do that anymore. But more importantly, just have time to be by yourself, you and God. I have 9 grandchildren. Not one of them is creative, I'm sorry to say. Why? Because they're not bored. They've got too much stuff going on in their lives. And without boredom, you can't discover what is up there, what the gifts that God has given you. Now, let me hasten to add, I'm not a technophobic person. I am a gadget person. I've got more gadgets than you, I guarantee. I've got more gadgets than you've got filling this room with cameras and stuff, you know. But I know when to stop.
The pizza's cold, and you know what? I couldn't care less. I wasn't cut out for this sort of thing. The Bible says that God made our world in 6 days, and after that, on the seventh day, he rested. He took a holiday, a holy day. He blessed the seventh day and set it aside as something special. God didn't need to take a day off. So why did he? Well, God's idea of life and living is very different to what's going on out there. The Bible tells us that God's not all about work. Yes, work's important, but it's not the main thing. God's about relationships, about people, about the sheer celebration of being alive. And just like you crave time with the people you love, that's what God craves, time with us, the people he loves. Notice how none of this is about things. Relationships are non-material. God, our Creator, commands us to take a time off from our consumer-driven lives, to slow down and to really live. We humans are finely tuned machines. We're not made to run 24 hours a day. God intended that we enjoy the unforced rhythms of work and rest that he put in place way back there in the beginning.
In the beginning was an earth without form and void. The Spirit of God, he hovered over the deep. And that movement represents the way God moved into my life. The Spirit of God just woke me from my sleep. And he spoke light into the world. And there was God where darkness stood. He spoke light into my life, and it was good, it was good, it was good.
To be honest, I found when I was touring relentlessly with the band, it was difficult to maintain like a really strong spiritual focus, because life is so crazy and hectic, and you're touring, you're getting to airports and traveling and whatnot. There's a lot of distractions in everyday life. I mean, most of us have to go to work in environments where God is not really the focus or the feature. And even though every day of the week we should be enjoying relationship with God, you know, just the pressures and the responsibilities of everyday life tend to distract us inevitably away from focusing on God. The Sabbath provides a 24-hour period where we can do just that. We don't have to worry about the work or taking the kids to school or all the other things that get in the way of our relationship with God. If we're working 7 days a week, there's relentless, there's no break. And even given the fact that what I have done for work throughout my entire life has been very enjoyable to me as well. I'm been blessed to be able to make a livelihood out of doing something that I love. still 100% of the time doing the same thing can get a bit much. And I think obviously God in his infinite wisdom has constructed and designed the weekly cycle, Sabbath, of course, being a very important part of that, the pinnacle of that weekly cycle. So I couldn't say that Sabbath doesn't come, or it comes too often. It's the best day of the week. But of course, God, designed us. The commandment tells us what to do on the other 6 days of the week. It says that we should labor. I mean, it's good to be busy. It's good to work and be productive. God wants us to do that. But then, in his wisdom, he has designed and created this day where we can leave all that aside and draw close to him.
Every day a week I get to keep a vacation with my Lord and remember how he started this whole thing off. He spoke life into the world.
Where did the idea of a seven-day week come from? We get our year by the Earth's revolution around the sun. We get our month by the moon circling the Earth. And we get our day by the Earth's rotation on its axis. But none of these explain a seven-day week. It can't be explained by the stars or the planets. God created the seven-day week and commands us to remember the seventh day to keep it holy.
It's very important to take one day a week off. Scientifically, people are analysing lifestyle and things like this and noticing the importance of having a weekly day of rest. God, way back in the beginning, designed us to operate that way.
With his hands, God formed a man from out of the dust and breathed into his lungs the breath of life. When he breathed into me, that's when I became a living soul. A living soul for Christ. He spoke light into the world. There was God where darkness stood. He spoke light into my life. It was good, it was good, it was good.
We often think about Sabbath as being a day of rest, resting from our physical labors, the busyness, the hustle and bustle of our lives all through the week. And in a sense, Sabbath is a great blessing in that sense. But to me, it's more about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's spending that time with him. And, it's resting, it's ceasing from my weekly activity. But it's more than just ceasing that activity. It's ceasing with the purpose of entering into a special sacred time with Jesus.
In every world religion, people revere something. Shrines, cities, even other people. They kiss holy land. They listen to holy men and they immerse themselves in holy water. What's fascinating, however, is that in the book of Genesis, the first thing declared holy is not a hill, a shrine, or a place, but a block of time, the seventh day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. The word sanctified comes from a word which means to set apart for a holy use. Think about it. If God had made one specific place holy, a hill, a spring, or a city, not all people would have had access to it. They would have had to travel to worship there. But time comes to us. We never have to seek it. The day always finds us. Meanwhile, look at history. Holy cities can be burned. Holy people can be killed. Holy shrines can be looted. But time is beyond all that. God has made the Sabbath invincible. We can ignore it. We can be ignorant of it, hate it. But the Sabbath always comes, and nothing and no one can stop it.
This morning's newspaper had a very interesting cartoon. It was a beautifully drawn background of mountains and trees and a lake and everything like that. And sitting on a chair, on the one side was obviously the husband. Sitting on the chair, 10 feet away, facing that direction, was his wife. And both of them had their famous eye something or other in their hands. And he says to her, "Isn't this a wonderful eye life?" You know, and that's the problem. From marriages down to parental children relationships, we are losing social connectedness. That even when we have friends and family members say something or draw our attention to something, we're too distracted. Our brains are somewhere else. We're not in the here and now.
I read somewhere that the average father spends less than 1 minute a day in one-to-one interaction with his kids. That doesn't sound like much quality time to me. The Sabbath assures us that we have time for both our families and God. Sabbath is a time set aside to forget about the worries and stresses of the week, to get our priorities straight. It's a delight, a special time to share our lives with the people we care about the most. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me.
You can't have a meaningful relationship with anybody unless you're spending time with them. And, you know, God calls us into relationship with him and he sets aside that special time. So Sabbath is really a blessing in terms of our relationship individually with God. But then, you know, God has also created us to be in relationship with each other. And the way that God wants us to respond to that selfless love that he's shown to us is by displaying that selfless love to other people. And that runs against the grain of what society tells us that is important.
Now 6 days shalt thou labor, but the seventh day's for God. Some folks, they might think that's pretty odd. But one day a week I get to keep a vacation with my Lord and remember how he started this whole thing on. He spoke light into the world. There was God where darkness stood. He spoke light into my life. It was good, it was good, it was good. It was good, it was good, oh so good. It was good, it was good, it was good.
Family, dates are important. Whether it's a birthday or an anniversary, they symbolise something. They remind us of who we are, where we came from, and what's important, our relationship with one another. The seventh day Sabbath is such an important date to God that he put it into the heart of his Ten Commandments. It's the only one that begins with the word remember.
Thank you.
You can do three things with anniversaries. You can forget them at your peril. Boy, I could tell you some stories. You can view them as interruptions, just another task to add to the in-tray of your busy life. Or you can get your priorities straight, remember why they're important to you, and make every moment count. Kind of like the Sabbath, really.